We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Entering the Mayo Experience.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Experience, presented by DraftKings. Let's kick it back off. Fantasy football season, now that the draft is over, for me, officially begins right now. We need to rank these rookies, and not what they're going to be in Dynasty. There may be a show on Mayo Media Network in the coming weeks that is going to assess all of your Dynasty needs. Wait and see on that one. But I want to talk redraft, because that's what I care about. I care about best ball, care about high stakes, I care about my season-long leagues, and how these rookies are actually going to fit in and be useful this season, not 4 years from now. Don't really care about that. I care about what they're going to do for me in 2023. So reminder to all of you out there to smash the like to the episode and sub to Mayo Media Network. You turn on those notifications and boom, you shall be good to go. We'll have more football on Thursday on the Pat Mayo Experience as we dig deeper into the overall draft grades for these teams, plus a whole lot more. But Jake Seeley from TheAthletic.com is on the line with me for the first time in months. He's been married, he's been on a honeymoon, he's having surgery, but you also rank some rookies, so that's fantastic news.
Yeah, I did the rookies, I did redraft rankings, I did dynasty ranks, I did rookie only ranks, I got all of that out there, and yes, I did the tattoo version of because I cannot stand things on my fingers, so that is my ring for the official. Yes, I'm a married person just like you.
That's true. I opted for the Kirk Cousins silicone ring, so I never have to take it off.
That would actually be worse. Like, really? I can't, that tightness would just, it makes me squeamish just even thinking about it.
Yeah, but it's not tight. It's real spongy. Like, I don't know, you can just kind of squish it like that. Like, you can work out with it on, you can play golf with it on. It's not that big of a deal. And it is a constant reminder. We both just got back from Mexico. Like, I got a sweet ring tan now.
Oh, nice. See, that I don't have to worry about that. I just have the tattoo in the place. Yeah, no, we did the official ring for the ceremony, and even that, like, the first couple days, I got panicky. Cause look how I got alien fingers, dude. Like, my knuckles are way too big for how skinny my fingers are. It just panics me out. So, yes, I got the tattoo.
All right, well, let's talk about football, because that's what we're here to do.
Yes.
Bijan Robinson is going to be the number one rookie that goes off draft boards in redraft leagues, in best ball, going to the Falcons. They have a super team of skill guys. I mean, do you think Ritter can get any of these guys the ball?
I actually do. I'm higher than most on Desmond Ritter. I don't think this is, let's make no qualms about it. It's going to be a run first team. This is Arthur Smith, and this is the drafting of Bijan Robinson, which means he's going to walk into 350 touches, if not more than that. And so I have no concerns about the fact of the run game. People are like, well, look, they're down. Like, Bijan Robinson's not coming off the field. Like, Tyler Allgeier, sorry, your time's done. You're a pure backup now. And Cordell Patterson might just get pushed primarily to passing game work. But I'm not worried about Bijan for touches or for the offense or whatever it is. And I think the offense can be sustained under Ritter. You saw the last two games look pretty good. I think Ritter is not going to be anything more than a middle QB2 for fantasy or real life terms. Like, that's just where he is. But he's consistent. He's a game manager, if people want to throw that term out there. He was, like I said, consistent through this time in Cincinnati. I thought he got a little bit undervalued by people, and people are like, oh, they need a new quarterback, they should take one. I think he can be fine. I think he'd be fine for the offense. It's not going to be top 10 offense, but I think he can manage enough.
So I'm going back and looking at the final few games of the year that Ritter was under center. And it wasn't like the Mariota offense from earlier in the year where he was throwing the ball like nine times a game, which was actually proving to be pretty effective for like the first 8 weeks of the season or so. But there still just wasn't a lot of check down to any of the running backs, yeah, regardless of who it was, because there was always the fascination with, like, well, Cordarrelle Patterson's such a good receiver. Of course, he's going to carry the ball 6 to 10 times a game, but he's also going to pile up like 5-6 catches because that's what he does best. But now, never throw to anyone out of the backfield. So I don't know what the receiving ceiling is for Robinson in Atlanta. I don't think that Algier is going to be completely worthless. I think that there's going to be enough in this backfield where, listen, in the final game of the year, Algier had 24 carries, Patterson had 5, Avery Williams had 4. Like, this is an offense that, like you said, wants to run the ball. Even if they're losing, they are going to run the ball regardless. They're right. Not going to throw to their running back. So I could see a situation where Robinson has like 18 to 24 carries a game, but Algier still has like 8 to 12.
That's what I was going to say. If you absorb both those running backs behind Algier, that's where he could be. But for fantasy terms, that's nothing for us unless you're in a deep league. I mean, you're not going to want to sit there and bank that he gets 50, 60 yards of 8-10 touches, or that he hopefully finds the end zone. So he's more of a if break glass. Like, if anything happens to Robinson, we just saw Algier can put up top 15 numbers. So he is now what we talk about every single year is one of the better clear-cut handcuff backups, because unlike some of the other situations where there's even a third option to come into the mix if the lead goes down, at least with Algier, we know he'll be the guy. So I'm not writing him off draft boards. He should still be drafted in that probably 8, 9, 10 round range because of the upside if Robinson gets hurt. I mean, look, Javonte Williams got hurt. Breece Hall got hurt. So there's definitely upside there, but you're not going to be able to rely on him any given week.
Javonte Williams still hurt.
Yeah, that is still a question if he's going to be ready for week one. So, same for Breece Hall, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Breece doing some explosion drills on Instagram. He looks fine.
Looks fine. I don't know. They drafted yet another running back, so they might come slowly with Breece Hall. He might be 10 to 12 touches until the end of September, I guess. Remember Saquon Barkley from a few years ago, and then he got hurt as he got back to 100% against the Cowboys? I think that might be the Breece Hall plan for the Jets. Like, expect a little bit of a slow start for him.
Well, optimism is an all-time high for Robinson and what he can do for you in fantasy. I saw, I was milling around. I didn't do any ranking, so I was like, hey, where are other people ranking him? And I see him inside like top 5 of all running backs. That seems like a bit much, doesn't it? Because you hit on the key name here. Let's say Breece Hall is ready for week one. In season long, are you drafting Robinson or Hall?
I'm taking Robinson. And call me crazy. It just comes down to the volume. I know people are going to talk about the offenses, and there's data from how many times a running back in a bottom 10 offense finishes as a top 10 running back. It happens, though, and the volume is here. Like, if this was a different team, if Bijan Robinson was drafted to the Cowboys, no, that's actually the Cowboys would be the same situation because of that. I'm trying to think of a team like the Patriots. And they didn't have Ramondre Stevenson. We'd be like, okay, that's good, but we still know the Patriots are going to involve somebody else. Like, Ramondre Stevenson is not a top 5 running back because they didn't really address the running back situation outside of what they did last year. And we're all sitting here saying, yeah, Stevenson's great, but we know they're going to include somebody else. It's Arthur Smith and the Falcons. Like, it's going to be Bijan Robinson. They just did it with Algier, who wasn't the draft capital and not even close to the talent of Bijan Robinson. They took a top 10 pick as a skill position player, which we know has been devalued in the NFL, Bijan Robinson's going to get 350 touches. So even if it works out to a year, some like the other running backs, where it's he only gets 4, 5, 6 touchdowns, he's still going to be top 10 at worst. So I have him inside my top 5. I would take him there. I know it's rookie optimism, the excitement, fresh legs, and all that type of stuff. But even if Breece Hall was 100%, Breece Hall has night. A drafted rookie in addition to him, and that backfield. Michael Carter's still there. He might actually get cut at this point, but it's just less opportunities for the other players on the team's like style. Like, I think the Cowboys was a better example of what I initially went with. If he got drafted to the Cowboys with no Tony Pollard, we'd be like, yeah, Bijan Robinson, I know the offense is better, but we know the volume is going to be there, and that's what I'm chasing. We know the volume.
Okay, so Tony Pollard or Bijan Robinson?
I go Bijan, but I have Pollard inside my. I have him at 7. I have him right there behind Taylor and Jacobs.
See, I haven't done enough of a deep dive on this yet, but it just seems too high. And I really kind of go back
for Pollard or Robinson.
For Robinson, just I don't think he's going to catch any passes, and that doesn't take away from what his potential upside could be in scoring touchdowns and getting 350 touches. I think that's probably a bit high because they don't throw to running backs all that often. Maybe that was a personnel thing. Maybe now that they have him, everything will adjust itself. But when I was thinking rookies, and maybe he's better, and maybe the offensive line is a little bit better, like especially the right side of the Falcons' offensive line is quite good, that aren't we kind of in store for a less receiving valuable Najee Harris rookie season?
I think we're kind of more in store of a Nick Chubb season. So,
okay,
Nick Chubb, 20 to 30 receptions. I think that's the range we should put him at. I agree with you that it's not even the throwing, but Cordell Patterson maybe probably still gets used in that fashion, whatever it might be. But the good thing is, like, the receivers, it's Drake London and then, of course, Kyle Pitts. But, I mean, there's not a lot where it won't be Robinson or other options at the backfield. I know Ridder didn't, and he's not actually, you're right, he's not going to be in the 20 to 25% of throwing to running backs. He's never going to be at the top of the league. But there'll be enough to say 20, 30 receptions. So Nick Chubb, where the pushback will come from, and I'll agree with Nick Chubb, 1,600 rushes or rushing yards. That would be a hell of a lot of rushes. 1,600 rushing yards, and then 20, 30 receptions for 200 or so receiving. That's huge. And that will be guaranteed top 10, even with 4 or 5 touchdowns. He'll need the top 10 touchdowns or 10 touchdowns to reach the top 5. So I understand the pushback, but where I'll chase the volume over the touchdowns. Now, if it comes to arguing the backfields and you want to say, well, I'll take Josh Jacobs on the Raiders versus the Bijan Robinson of the Falcons, I'm not going to argue with you too much, which is why you and I have done this for years. Let's talk tiers, and let's talk the fact that he deserves to be in a tier with Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, if healthy, and Austin Eckler's of the world. Like, he's in that same, maybe you want to say Austin Eckler's in another tier than him, but point being, he's in the conversation. If you don't want to take him there, I get it. But I think he deserves to be in that conversation.
So off the top of my head, and again, I will leave this open to change over the course of the next 5 months or so before we actually do some drafts. But even in early drafts, we'll see how this shakes out. You know, like McCaffrey's going to be number one. Taylor, Eckler. I would have Barkley up there as well, just based on what we saw from Barkley last year. Coming back, he needs to have another great season to continue to get paid a ton of money if they go to exclusive franchise him this time. I think that Robinson's in that tier, like you mentioned, with Henry and Jacobs. Like, you kind of spelled out, hey, maybe you could have a Nick Chubb type of year. What about Nick Chubb?
So I think Nick Chubb is interesting. So it's interesting in the fact that, like, you threw Taylor's name out and we kind of glossed over him. I would take Bijan Robinson over Taylor because I don't know, like, what is that offense? Like, who's going? Is it going to be Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, it's got to be Minshew. You got to think that, unless they're like
you have to think
unless they're throwing away. I mean, unless maybe Richardson's awesome and he ends up. And
yeah.
Remember, we all kind of laughed at Carolina when they started Cam Newton week one. Then he threw 400 yeah. yards in the first game. It's like, oh, shit, yeah. He's really good.
Yeah.
Maybe Richardson's going to be the same way. But the expectation, I would think, and I would start Richardson unless he's just completely not ready, because where the fuck are you going with Minshew?
Exactly. And Richardson should be. And Richardson, as like the talent and everybody talking about leading up to the draft, we just saw what that means for the NFL terms and what happened to Levis. But with Richardson, the concern also comes is not just how efficient is the offense. Does he actually cause it to score less as a whole because of his passing concerns? It's also his rushing concern. The argument that Cam Newton's a great example. All the years we sat here and said, well, Cam Newton, if there is only one running back, which there should be with Taylor, but there's still the Josh Allen, potential lost rushing touchdowns because Richardson's going to run and he's going to take some of those away. So that's why I say Bijan Robinson versus Taylor is an interesting conversation. The Nick Chubb one, like, you could call me crazy. Like, you know what? You ask me the questions all the time, Pat, and you maybe tell me. I'll ask you the question. Am I too low on Nick Chubb? There's something in my mind where I'm like, I know what Nick Chubb just did. They let Kareem Hunt walk. They didn't really do much to the backfield. They have Jerome Ford carrying over from last year. But, like, I'm just like, they want to use somebody else. We've sat here and said, why not Nick Chubb? Why not Nick Chubb? And they keep using somebody else. Maybe I'm too low on Nick Chubb and having him in the next tier down with Najee Harris and Ramondre Stevenson.
See, I don't think so. I've been kind of the captain amongst the two of us. I'm the Captain Phillips of this, although he was the one who was taking over. So maybe you're the Captain Phillips of the Nick Chubb boat. But I've always been low on Nick Chubb. Like, not low in sense like don't draft Nick Chubb, but I never wanted to take him in the first round because there's no receiving upside that goes along with it. When you look at the game-breaking running backs that you need to truly dominate in fantasy, like there's a reason that McCaffrey, even with question marks the past 2 years, we sat here and didn't even have to argue about him being number one last year. I know some people had Taylor at number one. Some people had Henry at number one. It didn't really matter. We both looked at it like, well, Derrick Henry doesn't catch enough passes. And his reception total went way up last year. Coincidentally, Arthur Smith's not around anymore. All of a sudden, they start throwing to their running backs a little bit more. Maybe it's an Arthur Smith thing. But when you can kind of pencil in, same as Eckler, why we continuously had him inside the top five, inside the top three. Like, if you have the potential to catch 8 passes during a game, you don't even really need to be that good in order to score fantasy points. And that's the problem that I kind of see with Robinson, that I see with Nick Chubb. And why I see someone like Ramondre and Pollard at, they're going to be in that like next tier down. I would have them both in the next tier up. Yeah, New England probably brings in someone else to spell him, but they still love throwing to Ramondre. With Harris gone, he's probably their goal line back. If you can pencil him in for like 7 to 12 touchdowns, like he has top 3 fantasy potential at running back. And Pollard, if he truly is the guy and he averages 18 touches a game, why isn't he top 5?
And that's the thing is, does this offense come back to Dak Prescott passing a little bit more? And I know that was still involved with Tony Pollard, but you've seen Dallas struggle a little bit the past 2 years and they've been so run heavy that Tony Pollard deserves to be top 10.
You know what? Maybe they don't have Zeke on the team anymore to run the ball up the middle for -1 yard every time. Just get rid of that. You're good to go.
You don't want to celebrate when he goes 20 for 60 with a rushing touchdown and be like, ha ha ha, they won.
The explosion of Pollard and the way that he's utilized in the passing game, I really like. And I mean, I'm always a slut for the passing game, other than the Chubbs of the world, that kind of thing. Like Jacobs last year increased his receiving total a bit. Like that was nice to see. I don't know if that continues, but it probably should underneath Josh McDaniels, as long as he continues to play 75-80% of the snaps.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, too, is like, does he continue that? Do they get more out of Zamir White this year? I'm kind of looking now, and then, the more we talk through this, like, I initially had a tier where I stopped at Jacobs, but now I feel like Pollard, Henry, Chubb, Harris, Stevenson, like, maybe this tier is giant. Like, I'm looking behind Christian McCaffrey, who feels now like the Cooper Kupp from 2 years ago, where he's just by himself. Like, Christian McCaffrey, especially once he got settled in with San Francisco, was just on another playing field. I mean, he was averaging close to 20 points per game. And then you go to Eckler, Barkley, Taylor, Robinson, Jacobs, Pollard, Henry, Chubb, Harris, Stevenson, as you just mentioned. And I feel like, are we sitting here making an argument where any of them could be number 2 and any of them could be 11?
I mean, 11 is probably a bit much, but...
Well, that's how far we go. There's 9 running backs. Like, I guess so. Where do you break the tier here?
I feel like Barkley and Eckler are kind of on a tier by themselves, based on what their upside is. Like, if you told me at the end of the year...
So kind of like tight end.
Yeah, like Austin Eckler is the number 1 fantasy running back. It's like, yeah, that tracks. I can see how he got there. Same as Barkley. I could see how he could get there. It would be hard for me to envision Nick Chubb as the number 1 overall running back. Like, you'd have to score like 20 touchdowns.
Or Jonathan Taylor or Josh Jacobs, and then for what we were talking about here, it's hard to see Bijan Robinson get there.
Exactly. So Taylor's a bit interesting, though, because you can kind of play it one way, where you hit on it, and same as the thing that we had with Cam Newton, with Josh Allen, if you have a quarterback that's going to monopolize the goal line, which we don't know if that's going to be the case, that's just us projecting onto the situation, and it seems very logical if Richardson starts. However, you can kind of put it on the flip side, too, is that what's the one advantage that a lot of these running backs have with quarterbacks like that? The running lanes for these running backs in terms of pure yardage are huge. And we've seen Taylor break off a ton of big runs early in his career. Like he could just have one of like a Derrick Henry type season where it's like, oh yeah, he was, he was 18 for 43 in the game. Oh, and then he also had 2 80 yard runs for touchdowns too. Like there's that potential. The problem is they're probably not going to be very good. They're probably not going to be up in games. And if they're not up in games, he might not get to 25 carries, which it may take, but he could be utilized in the receiving game as well. It's not like he's a non-factor there. Like when they swapped Hines for Moss, it's not like they brought in a pass catching running back. He's still their pass catcher.
That's true. But then on the flip side, even to throw into all this, and we've already talked through it, but if it is Minshew, and then you worry about the Minshew offense being 1 week it could score 30 and next week it might score 7 because he threw 3 picks and turned the ball over 2 more times on the ground.
Oh, for sure. I think that he's in a more confusing situation. And as long as Eckler comes back, which it looks like he's going to do, it's not like they've brought in someone to replace him. And we know that his efficiency is always going to trump whatever volume that he gets. More volume, the better, obviously, but he can do it in limited touches. That's why I don't really worry about Pollard. Outside of injury, we've just seen Pollard be so efficient that even if he gets more volume and he's less efficient, well, then he's just the guy that he was last year when Zeke was hurt, which was like a top three guy.
Yeah, and I'm glad we're kind of talking through this because I'm going to rework my tiers. I had a little bit different tier going through this where it split at Jacobs and Pollard, but I think talking through this with you, and this is included, I mean, I haven't really changed my opinion that much, but I think the fact that Eckler and Barkley, kind of like you just said, in a tier of your own, where all these other guys, there's ceilings to all that. Like, I think of the Taylor, Jacobs, Pollard, Henry, like Henry could get back to number one, but sure, that would be shocking, I would say, given his health, what we finally saw last year. He started to get banged up. He actually started to be less efficient than the Henry we used to know. That offense, is it Tannehill? Or how soon until they turn to Levis? And then, you know, I don't see Najee Harris getting there. Even healthy, he was like RB7 or something like that after he seemed to turn the corner health-wise last year. And we talked through Nick Chubb. So, yeah, I think that now, like kind of talking through it with you, like it would be McCaffrey and then Eckler and Barkley, and then Robinson is in that tier with all these names we're talking about.
Yeah, the other two that we didn't mention, I guess, would be Ken Walker and Travis Etienne. But Jacksonville, much like we saw, where or at least we've theorized with Atlanta and with Cleveland and some of these other running backs, for a guy who was hyped so much as a pass catcher coming out, they don't really throw their running backs.
They didn't, which was a little bit surprising. And then, of course, you have the addition of Bigsby, which now concerned the fact of...
They drafted Clayton Bigsby, did they?
Yeah, Tank Bigsby. So there you go. Is, you know, that's a third round draft capital on Tank Bigsby to give a compliment. You know, we saw James Robinson at the beginning of last year, what that compliment was to ETN, where Robinson was having better weeks than ETN. I don't think he's coming in to be James Robinson. But as you mentioned, what do we also know about this team? Who's the head coach? Doug Peterson. We've said this for years. Not going to use a bell cow running back, which he kind of did with Miles Sanders' rookie season. But as other people, including Lauren Carpenter, who we know, friend of the show, I do a show with her as well, she brought up that it was actually one of the worst years for the Eagles. So I don't know if that's in Peterson's mind with the ETN situation, but ETN's also the previous regime, not Doug Peterson. Not saying he doesn't love him. He used him plenty last year. But you throw all those factors in here to say that's why I have ETN not in this group. If ETN found his way inside the top 10, wouldn't shock me at all. But I think you throw him in that group with what do we know about Ken Walker and what do we know about Pete Carroll? He loves to use multiple running backs and then he drafted one.
He did. We'll see how that ends up turning out with how this shakes down, because they also got a first-round rookie wide receiver as well. Great. No bigger winner in the draft than Geno Smith, I think.
Is he the biggest? I'm trying to think if there's any bigger winner.
There was all the talk. It's like, oh, this is a perfect situation. He's really only I know it's big money, but he's tied to this one-year deal. Like, they're a perfect spot for Levis or Richardson. Let them sit for a year. Let them learn underneath Geno. If Geno sucks, you move on. No. Didn't draft anyone. Went and got him a receiver and another running back.
That's really true. And I think that if you look at Smith and Jigba, you're thinking next year, Tyler Lockett has a lot. He has over, I think it's 20 something or 20 million next year to his contract. And it's more than cut in half if they let him go next year. So I think that's why you're looking at Smith and Jigba for 2024.
How old, for fantasy purposes. How old do you think Tyler Lockett is?
Oh, he's 30, 31.
He's 30. He's exactly 30.
Yeah.
He's been around forever.
Yeah. So,
he's been good every year. He has been the
Brandon
best.
Cooks too.
Well, yeah. Well, Brandon Cooks like legit has been around forever. But he was like, but people always treated Brandon Cooks like when he went to the Rams. It's like, oh man, this is going to be amazing. Even this first year with the Texans, like this is going to be amazing. Goes to the Patriots, it's going to be amazing. Did he start with the Patriots? Who the hell did he start with? The Saints.
Brandon Cooks, Rams.
Yeah. Anyway, he went to the Rams.
It
was Saints, Patriots, Rams, Texans, right?
I think that's the order. I think that's the right order.
Anyway, he was always given.
I'm gonna look it up.
He was always given value as a wide. Like there'd be the chatter about him being like a fringe wide receiver one based on what he could do, and he put up those like consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. Lockett is just perpetually like a 12th round pick in fantasy, yeah, and just delivers every year.
I forgot about the Saints years. How did I space on that? Yeah, Saints, Patriots, Rams. But Cooks is just Cooks, who ends up on all those teams, which is why he got disrespected. But yeah, I think Tyler Lockett for this year is going to, I think it's going to be a value again because people are going to be like, oh, they drafted Smith and Jigba, which let's talk about the rookie situation. I actually, interesting enough, I'm going to plug something for you, Pat. I have an article coming out, The Athletic. I look back at the history of first round drafted wide receivers and how good they are for fantasy because people make assumptions both ways. And Dotson is one of the ones I even called to last year. Like, hey, they spent a first rounder. And I was like, ah, he's buried. And I'm not saying go out and draft crazy like Smith and Jigba, but look at Dotson last year, top 50. He is draft relevant. And I would say Smith and Jigba is going to be frustrating. But if anything were to happen to Metcalf or Lockett, there's the ceiling there. Geno Smith is a huge winner. Although you could say Kyle Trask is a huge winner for the Buccaneers. But looking at that situation, I think the more interesting play is what we started with this whole conversation is they draft Charbonnet and now split backfield. We're back to the 55-45. Ken Walker, not great in the passing game. We saw his rookie. He did get some passing game work, but also to kind of like hijack this conversation for you. But Ken Walker, we talked about it on your ranking show, talked about my ranking show with Meany. We went through this a lot. Ken Walker wasn't very efficient on a metric standpoint, especially after the touch. And so I'm not saying Ken Walker's losing the job. I'm just saying he's going to lose that bell cow work where now there's a significant concern. Like Ken Walker with ETN in this tier four that he now is with, I have Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon seems to be sticking around with the Bengals and Miles Sanders with Carolina. Like if you told me Ken Walker finishes as the next tier down, it wouldn't surprise me.
I think he's firmly in that mix. The Aaron Jones, J.K. Dobbins, like we really don't know what's going on, but like, what about Damian Pierce? I know they have Devin Singletary now, but like Pierce was so good through 12 games and he kind of hit a rookie wall. That was the end of him. When PXG says nobody makes golf clubs the way that they do, they're not lying. The PXG clubs I now have are absolutely incredible. So when I heard about their new Black Ops driver, the driver that promises you don't have to sacrifice distance for forgiveness, I had to try it because they call me the sandwich on the tee box. I got an awful lot of slice, and I've spent the past 3 years trying to work that out of my game. So I had one driver, then I had another driver, and then I went to a swing coach. I'm still going to my swing coach, and I went to a PXG location for a fitting and got my Black Ops driver, perfectly tailored to me. But here's the sneaky thing. When you're average height, like Pat Mayo, not a whole lot of fitting you need to do. Clubs are made for you, but if you're taller, if you're shorter, you need to go to a PXG location to make sure that it's perfect for you to get that Black Ops driver with the breakthrough in driver technology. Because let's face it, we're not the guys that we're betting on all season long. We have some struggles when it comes to the game of golf, but we do want to get better. Like I'm actively trying to get better. I took myself down from a 20 handicap to a 10 handicap, and I'm really hoping that without losing a bunch of balls and adding distance, adding accuracy this year, that I can get into that single digits. Maybe even try to challenge like breaking 75 this year. I broke 80 last year, hoping to break 75 at least once this year. And I do think with my new PXG Black Ops driver that I might be able to accomplish that. It's at least given me the best chance that I have. It has more forgiveness, more distance without sacrificing anything. Game changer has been thrown around so much it's really lost meaning. But trust me when I tell you, the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. So learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/mayo. And use code Mayo at checkout. That's pxg.com/mayo, code Mayo, for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/mayo, code Mayo.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, he hit the rookie wall. Wasn't a high draft capital, even though we liked Dameon Pierce, because the opportunity, similar to Tyler Allgeier, it was mostly about, hey, look, you have the opportunity for all those touches in the backfield. I think the Devin Singletary thing worries me a lot. Not that I think Singletary is going to take the lead, but I have Dameon Pierce down with the split backfield types of Swift and Brian Robinson, which isn't that far, but those are fringe RB2s for me. Aaron Jones is in the tier above him with Isaiah Pacheco, Jahmyr Gibbs, the other rookie, Rashad White, big winner. And although, what's that offense going to be like? And then the resurgence of this is the Cam Akers, also a big winner. They didn't do anything. They drafted Zach Evans super late.
Hey, Cam Akers proved his worth the final 3 weeks of the season last year. He was great.
I know. I'm never going to live that down.
Well, it's no worse than CJ Anderson at number one.
That's probably still the worst.
Hey, it happens. When you have to make predictions, they don't all go swimmingly. Well, so let's talk about Gibbs for a second. I don't see any difference. Like, everyone wanted to hype DeAndre Swift year over year, mm-hmm. and I've always been the mm-hmm. one throwing the cold water on it, saying that Detroit just doesn't use running backs that way. He's going to have weeks where he's awesome. That's great. But he's also going to have weeks where he's an absolute disaster. I feel like Gibbs is going to be exactly the same way.
So I have Gibbs and tier five with Aaron Jones, Isaiah Pacheco, Cam Akers, and Rashad White. Very small tier for me.
I would drop Rashad White, and I don't think Rashad White's going to end up being like the number one guy there. Like, he'll be the number one, but more of like a 1A situation. And I would have Aaron Jones higher. I would have Cam Akers.
Jordan Love.
I would have Cam. Well, they might just run a ton. Who knows? I would have Cam Akers way higher.
See, I can't do that because in the next tier up for me, as I mentioned, I threw out some of the names, Dalvin Cook, more of the backfield.
Sure, then I dropped those guys down a tier then.
Okay, so a little bit different in tiers aspect, but to go to Gibbs specifically, I said he's comparable in fantasy to Alvin Kamara, and our good friend Emery Hunt actually had him as his number one running back in this draft class. That's how much he thinks of him. All that to be said is I'm with you in the fact that nothing's going to change really from being DeAndre Swift. That's why I have him at 19. He's still an RB2. He's still going to share the backfield with David Montgomery, who essentially becomes Jamal Williams, or what we just saw last year. Sure, when Swift was healthy and not on the injury report heading into the week, he put up RB1 numbers. I think 3 out of 4 games of those were the only games. I think he only had 4 games where he wasn't on the injury report. That being said, is the usage was still there. He had to be very efficient on those touches, and Gibbs can do that. But the threat of David Montgomery is still going to pull enough away from him. And honestly, the reason I have him here is because Aaron Jones, Rashad White, you just mentioned it. Like, I could see the other person in that backfield. Like, if AJ Dillon, I know he didn't do a ton last year, but if AJ Dillon finally turned the corner and became the lead behind the Jordan Love offense or whatever, it wouldn't shock me. I'm not betting on it. If Dan Montgomery finished higher than Jahmyr Gibbs, wouldn't shock me, not betting on it. And that's why I have these guys in this group. If Isaiah Pacheco doesn't end up being the best running back for the Chiefs this year because it's the Chiefs, wouldn't shock me.
Sure. Swift goes to Philly for a 4th-round pick to join Rashad Penny. I mean, if both those guys are healthy, I'd rather have Rashad Penny. I think he fits in much better with what Philadelphia does.
I would 100% agree with you, but I did not rank them as such because I'm not betting on Rashad Penny for 16 games, even 17.
But we're going to bet on DeAndre Swift. We're going to bet on DeAndre Swift for 16 games, 17 games?
No, I mean, he played most of the, what did he have, 14, 15 last year? It's just he wasn't healthy. He wasn't 100% for most of them.
Yeah, he had like crutches on the field. He was like when the bulldozer had, when the bulldozer had to go back in King of the Hill to get back his touchdown record because they let the guy on crutches score a touchdown. That was DeAndre Swift for 90% of the games that he played.
Sure, that's fair. But like I said, four healthy games. How many games was Swift last year? I'm gonna look. I think I'm curious.
I think 13, 14 sounds about right because he had that stretch towards
14.
Yeah, yeah, he had that stretch where he like missed a month. And every week he was like, oh, he's coming back. It's like, oh, no, he's not coming back. And then he just didn't come back for a while. And they were like, hey, you know what our better play is? Give it to Jamal Williams on the one-yard line every time, and he'll score.
He's still – DeAndre Swift was still RB22 last year, even only 14 games.
Like in total points?
Yeah, points per game, because he had 11.8 points per game. That puts him at RB22. He was 22 overall and in points per game.
Really? He was 22? Man, really?
Yes. Yep. Tied with Zeke at 11.8.
Well, that
right behind Damian Pierce and Leonard Fournette.
Okay, that tracks. I guess there just weren't a lot of running backs that were in like full-time situations. Obviously, he was not at the same time, but just in terms of total points, I'm surprised he was that high.
I'm surprised too. I'm legitimately surprised. I thought he would be higher in points per game than he was in total points in the ranking. That actually surprised me. But that's, you know, that goes back to the hot conversation we're having right now of DeAndre Swift, of Jahmyr Gibbs, of Ken Walker, of Travis Etienne. How many running backs really have the backfield to themselves nowadays? The NFL is just different.
It's true, and we saw a lot of these third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, seventh round rookie running backs make an impact because of injuries at different points during the season. So it does seem like Robinson, Gibbs, they're going to be fantasy relevant. They're going to be drafted in everyone's leagues. Carbonet on Seattle probably as well, because the expectation would be that if Walker did go down, that he would just jump up into that role, and all of a sudden he has fantasy value. Other than those three, where do you go that you can see these rookie running backs actually being drafted? Like, who's the dude who went to Miami?
Devon Chain. It's Chain. He's part of the Chain gang out there now.
So he's off the chain. Like, what are they? They're bringing off back the chain. They're bringing back Colonel Mostert and Jeff Wilson. Like, you know, he could be the running back there in week five.
Well, see, that's why I think a chain is more interesting for let somebody else draft and potentially poach in a trade, or even just kind of hopefully that he falls. I have a feeling he's going to be overdrafted, because I do think Mostert and Wilson are going to be in the mix. Ahmed and Miles Gaskin feel like they won't be on the roster, as they just rinse and repeat from last year, but it feels like they'll be the ones gone. But if something happened to one of them and it split down to two, that's the upside we're hoping for. Eventually he takes the lead, but I think it's going to be a mess. Oh, what are we dealing with here? Again, the same thing we said last year. It's an offense from the 49ers situation. They love speed, and they love multiple running backs, and they love everybody. This is the biggest part. You've said this a lot too. They love their running backs to have roles. If Achane is only in the passing game and the speed option and limited to 8-12 touches per game, it's going to limit his ceiling. I don't think anybody in this backfield is ever going to near 20 touches a game. That's just not who McDaniel and this offense is.
I would tend to agree with you that unless there was just a wave of injuries coming through, that we're not going to see a ton of value that ends up coming through it. So who else from the later round rookies that you like?
There's three more that are interesting, so in different ways. So Kendre Miller for the Saints is interesting. It's weird because we don't know what's going on with Alvin Kamara, but the reason I say it's weird more than interesting is because they signed Jamal Williams. Miller's a lot like Jamal Williams was the fantasy comp I made for Miller before the draft. So that kind of gives you the idea of it's redundancy, so to speak. So if Kamara suspended eight the entire season, whatever kind of game situation it might be, I would still lean Jamal Williams, because it's not like they drafted a Kamara type. They actually drafted Jamal Williams type, who is interesting. But anyway, that interesting situation is going to be one to monitor, because we don't know what's going on with Kamara. The other two is Tajay Spears, but he's got a knee issue that people were concerned about, but he's behind Derrick Henry, which we're fine. How many years have we done this, Pat? There's somebody next to Derrick Henry. There's somebody next to Derrick Henry. He's the pass catcher next to Derrick Henry. Let's chill out. But if anything were to happen to Derrick Henry, Spears could be nice. And then the last one is Chase Brown with the Bengals, because they said Joe Mixon's going to stay, probably a pay cut, but that's a late round rookie. Is it going to be Chris Evans? Is it going to be Brown? We know Samaje Perine's gone. If Brown ends up being the immediate lead behind Joe Mixon, that's kind of a handcuff situation, an interesting one. But outside of that, Bigsby, I brought him up before, I think of all these names we just mentioned, if you're looking for don't need an injury, I think Bigsby could be the one with the most standalone value.
But probably not much value.
RB3, 4.
If that.
Like if you went wide receiver heavy, he could be your two. And you hope that he gets a James Robinson type of share. And the James Robinson share includes goal line work.
Okay, so I'm just trying to think about this. as it pertains to other running backs? Because there's going to be, like, I'm seeing early rankings, like Carbonet at 35 overall. That's a spot behind, like, James Cook and two ahead of Rashad Penny. And, like, just in terms of, like, average ranking kind of thing. I'm on Fantasy Pros right now. Look at it. I don't think that many people have done
rankings. I'm a 41.
But, like, would you rather take a shot on Carbonet or try to pick right between Khalil Herbert and Donta Foreman in Chicago?
I mean, it comes down to draft capital. So
let's say like they're all ranked around the same. Let's just say they're all going around the same.
I'll take Herbert. I'll still take Herbert. I believe in Herbert. I think Herbert's also shown already he can be an RB1. Foreman has shown to spell and be good in replacement of other running backs, but we saw sometimes that involved Hubbard, and we saw that Deonta Foreman has a limited ceiling. Herbert's been an RB1. Herbert's been the guy when David Montgomery went down for the Bears, so I would rather go with Herbert just because we already have that there. I think he's still going to lead that backfield, but I think that backfield will be frustrating at times.
So
you know what else? I compare that to, it's with Justin Fields. I'll compare that to, it's the J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards situation, which will probably make you say, I want the other one.
Yeah, that's usually the way that I go. Who's the cheaper one? I'll take that one, because Lord knows if we're going to try to predict this, we predict it wrong every time. So just go against the grain, take your savings, take someone else, then take the backup, and maybe you'll just be right.
I'm so getting sucked into J.K. Dobbins inside the top 20 this year. I'm letting you know right now.
Yeah, but like J.K., I think when you're thinking about J.K. Dobbins as it pertains to the overall running back rankings, and I think you stated this in your tier, that I think he's around Cam Akers, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, Najee Harris, like that range. Yeah. I think I'd rather have Akers. I think I'd rather have Cook, and I think I'd rather have Harris.
But I'd rather have Harris, Cook. I'd rather have Harris and Cook, but not Akers.
Okay.
Parson through that.
You're just mad. You're mad at Akers, huh?
No, I still have. I have Akers inside my top. He's an RB2 for me. I have him an RB22.
Yeah, that's not high enough.
Completely.
That's not high
enough. I know. To put him back to RB10.
What sort of odds do you think I could get on Cam Akers more fantasy points than Bijan Robinson?
Oh, you could get all the odds in the world.
Yeah, I think.
That's got to be.
And listen, I'm not going to.
Plus 3,000?
Yeah, 30-1. Okay, you sign me up for all the money I own on that those sorts of odds. If you want to make it,
you think that's you don't think it'll be that high?
You think that one to outscore the other in a head-to-head fantasy points matchup, that 30-1 would be the spread? No, I don't. I could bet $100 to win 3,000. No, it's like honestly, like no, not 10-1. Like it's closer than you think. Like if we ran the simulations, I can do this. I mean, I don't think it's all updated on Run the Sims as of yet. That should be there like within the next 2 weeks. But I bet you the spread is something like 65-35, like 60-40, something like that. Because you have to factor in injury too. Like if Robinson gets hurt and Cam Akers doesn't, Cam Akers is gonna win.
Okay, well, sure. So, and that's where my brain is. I'm going pure projections. I'm projecting both for 16 games.
But you have to consider if you're going to put odds on something like that, that you have to factor in the other circumstances as well of how does this go right? How does this go wrong?
Like, you're not wrong.
Atlanta could just be shitty again. Now, I understand that the Rams also going to be shitty, but we could get into a situation where it wouldn't be the first time that we've seen a very highly drafted rookie running back go into a situation. It's like, oh yeah, we're actually using three running backs. You know, it's year one. We don't want to put too many miles on them. I doubt that's what happens, but I think that's within the range of outcomes.
Because it's
impossible that happens.
If healthy, I think it's impossible that Bijan doesn't touch the ball 18, 20, 22 times a game.
All right, but I mean, that's probably what Akers is going to touch the ball too.
I don't think Akers is touching that. This dude was this close to getting cut from the... Sean McVay was ready to cast the dude out to the world to, like, somebody else take him. I'm done with this guy. And yeah, he looked good at the end of the season, but... Remember everybody campaigning for Kyren Williams last year, and now what is everybody doing?
I remember. I remember all of it. I remember the bad times, and I remember the good times that came at the end of the year. So whatever happened with him, I mean, just look from the beginning of December on, 17, 12, 12, 23, 19, 21 carries in each of those games. Like, I'm not going to sit here and project him to have 23 carries a game, but if he was at 15 carries a game and didn't get hurt all season long, play 17 games, like, it's a pretty close matchup.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit further, but I get what you're saying. And for everybody out there that's, oh, Zach Evans, he was a sixth rounder, late sixth rounder.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's what 500 running backs go in the draft every year. There's going to be unsigned or guys that weren't drafted that signed that will end up making an impact. Like, we want to talk ourselves into a lot of these rookies, and that's probably for a dynasty show because you can get real value on that. In terms of redraft, these guys don't fucking matter until they do matter later on.
Well, so to that point of, well, then they don't until they do. The one I will say in that fashion is Eric Gray, the one that the Giants drafted. He could easily leapfrog that backfield and be the replacement if Saquon Barkley goes down. He could be like, we know what Breida is, limited as this part of his career. Gary Brightwell's not anything in the NFL. I think he could be interesting, but that, again, he's not going to matter until he does. The one that does intrigue me a little bit, you said you were hesitant on Rashad White, is Sean Tucker from Syracuse. His health issue is why he got left out of the entire draft on a talent basis. He's a top 7-8 running back in this draft class. If he's healthy, which they gave him a pretty generous undrafted free agent contract, and I'm not saying everybody out there should go James Robinson all over again. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if there's a world where if like you're not confident in Rashad White, if just healthy for 2 or 3 years, and that's what we need for Sean Tucker for fantasy purposes, hopefully for his sake, it's his entire life, but fantasy purposes, 2 or 3 years, I mean, he could get past Rashad White on talent alone.
It's just funny to see the Tampa backfield. Like, who do you think that their starting quarterback is going to be by week one?
Who's going to give them a better chance to crash for Caleb Williams next year?
I mean,
Kyle Trask.
I mean, Kyle Trask is fine and everything. Like, if they want to be like relatively competitive, they should probably just go sign all the Seattle Sea Dragons guys. Sign Josh Gordon and sign AJ McCarron. You're off to the races.
Carson Wentz. Wentz is still sitting out there.
Okay, he most certainly is. He's probably going to continue to sit out there, too. Someone will sign him as a backup, right?
That's what I'm saying. So the fact that they haven't makes me think they're legitimately... It's Baker? I mean, is it Baker? If you want to tank, it's Trask. If it's the answer to be competitive, it's Baker.
Well, I mean, you can still tank with Baker, and then it doesn't make it seem like you're tanking.
That's what Carolina did. Yeah. They played competitively in quotes with Baker Mayfield.
I just see Rashad White as, it's fine. I don't want to say a better version of James White, but a similar role to James White receiving wise. Like I always feel like the receiving base is going to be there, but he'll probably end up with more carries. But I just never see him being, and maybe I'm wrong, being like the goal line back. Like, is he going to score 10 touchdowns in a season?
Not on
this team, for one thing. They might even score 10 rushing touchdowns. But percentage of rushing touchdowns from this team, how many go to Rashad White? Like 20% probably?
I would say optimistically 40% at most.
Yeah, so I just don't feel like there's a whole lot of value there. Like, there could be value for him if he's $4,100 on DraftKings and you catch him in the week where he has 13 targets, then yeah, that's great. But other than that, I just don't have much confidence.
No, I definitely get that.
Well, I think we'd probably need to do another show on wide receivers by themselves.
Just on wide receivers?
Just on wide receivers. So we'll call this one, we went through like running back rankings overall, so that's kind of nice. I do want to touch on the quarterbacks very briefly.
Before
we get out, because I don't think we need to have an in-depth conversation about what these guys are going to do in redraft leagues. Like, I think the only one that you probably really want to take is Richardson, if he ends up starting, because... I don't know. We've done this with Trey Lance. We've done this with Jalen Hurts. We've done this with Lamar Jackson. If we have a quarterback who we know can utilize... Fuck, I was drafting Malik Willis at the end of drafts last year in the off chance that he would get into games and rush for 200 yards. Like, we know how much value that these quarterbacks have in fantasy. If it looks at all like he has a chance to start week one, I will be drafting him. That's easy.
Yep. I think so. Yes, I have actually right now with the assumption. So the rankings are Anthony Richardson starter. I have him in tier 4. That's outside of the Daniel Jones, Geno Smith, Dak Prescott tier. It's the next tier. And I have him with Kirk Cousins. I have Bryce Young in this tier too. Bryce Young is not going to run for everybody out there. He's like Kyle Murray. Yeah. Size-wise, like Kyle Murray, he's actually a better natural passer and won't run as much. He'll run probably in the 400 to 500 peak range. He's not going to be 700, 800, 900, and he might only be 300 to 400. That being said, that's why Bryce Young is down here, because he has some rushing, but it's not the Anthony Richardson rushing upside. And that's why I have Richardson in this tier, is because Richardson can run for 600, 700, 800 and multiple touchdowns, but the passing is going to be the question. He has some good weapons to throw to, but I would say Richardson for me is the highest of the rookies. I think Bryce Young is draftable. Just taking the flyer on your second quarterback, like, hey, maybe he surprises. Maybe he is a fringe QB1. The lowest I have is CJ Stroud. I think CJ Stroud's the best passer of the three, but he's not going to run much, and he's on the Texans.
I like just looking at the overall, like, are we pretty convinced that 1-2-3 is going to be some combination of Hurts, Allen, and Mahomes?
Yeah, I actually had them in a tier by themselves.
Okay.
And then my next tier is Lamar, Burrow, and Fields.
Okay, so I think Fields is the perfect way to kind of spin this into Richardson. If Richardson starts week one, what really is the difference between Justin Fields and Anthony Richardson?
The fact is that is the offense yet acclimated to him? You're shifting your offense completely. Did they make that kind of transition?
Chicago's offense wasn't shifted towards Justin Fields. He just kind of ran around, and that was good
enough.
Right,
and but that was his year two. He came into a situation where it wasn't shifted for him, and it was miserable. Let's forget that initial start.
Well, I would hope that you take the guy at number four overall, and if you do plan on starting
you hope.
Him, you make some concessions to be like, you know what? Maybe we should design some plays for the guy who's playing quarterback. Just a hunch.
Just a hunch. We sat there and watched the Bears do it none. That's why Nagy's not the coach anymore. Not at all. Not one lick for Justin Fields. And they didn't change the offense at all. The Eagles, let's go back to that. Jalen Hurts' offense was not immediately for him when he came in for Carson Wentz. They took him till the next year. So you would hope, I'm saying that, you would hope, but also we just saw the Titans last year. That offense was not from Malik Willis. I'm not saying
no.
This hasn't been like, oh, okay, Malik Willis deserved a chance.
But you're talking about three separate situations where these guys came in mid-season. If we're saying that Richardson's going to be the starter from week one, I think that's a different scenario.
Okay, fair. Fair. That's fair. My concern is if it's an open competition and they try to straddle the fence all the way till week one, and then it's a late call. Yeah, I agree with you, but because teams do stupid things all the time.
Sure. But like, would you, in a fantasy draft, would you rather draft Aaron Rodgers or Anthony Richardson? I'd rather draft Richardson. Although
for that point, for what,
I would say that like when we kind of do the bell curve on it, Rodgers probably outscores him 65% of the time. It's just if
I was going to say 70.
Yes, 65-70% of the time. I acknowledge that, but I see Aaron Rodgers like his ceiling as a fantasy quarterback, if everything goes right, is like the fourth overall QB. Whereas Richardson,
well,
if everything...
I was going to say like QB 6.
Well, I'm saying that is the best possible season that he could have. Richardson, if Richardson has the best possible season he could have as a rookie, like, I mean, if he rushes for 12 touchdowns, then he could be QB1. He's not going to be. But the ceiling is higher on Richardson for what he brings to the table. If we're ranking Justin Fields at 4 overall, fuck, then Richardson might as well be 5.
For your point, and so the reason I have him in that tier is because of all the risk that comes with it. So yes, if I'm sitting there on the draft board, we talk about this every year, I'm going to take these guys. You've said it since day one I've known you. I'm going to take the guys that could potentially finish top three. Like, I want to win my league. I don't want QB10. I say the same thing at tight end all the time. If you don't get Travis Kelce or, you know, whatever it might be, like, I don't want tight end 10. I don't want QB10. I don't want those guys. I want the ones that could potentially finish top five. So I'm sitting there and my decision is between Aaron Rodgers and Anthony Richardson. This is why we talk through ranks, which is so great to do with you every single year. I have Rodgers ahead of Richardson. If I'm on the board drafting, I'm drafting Richardson because I know I can replace him much easier than if I wasted a pick on Aaron Rodgers, given those ceilings.
And this is where I think that, I mean, this is why, again, why we talk it through, why my rankings always look a little bit different than anyone else's. Because in that scenario, and I agree with you, I would take Richardson over Rodgers, I would just have Richardson ranked higher.
And that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, so I actually did
but you
that
but
last
you
year.
But you win awards for rankings accuracy and people just don't even want to look at
it. Which is why I stopped. No, this is why I completely stopped last year for this reason. It's like because I don't want to play this game anymore because I had to sit there and explain paragraphs and paragraphs and questions of like, yes, this is why I sat on Pat's show. And I just heard you on Pat's show on Wednesday say you would start blank over blank, but you have blank ranked ahead of blank. It's like, yeah, because the rankings are going to projections, which is what happens 70-80% of the time. That's how these rankings work. It's like, what happens the majority of the time? What gives you the best bet? If it's me personally, Jake, and I want to try to win, I'm going to go with some of these higher upside guys and break them down, which is why halfway through the season, I said, screw this. I'm using this table, and I'm going to tell you this is how I would play every single player down the list, and that's when I started doing that.
It's way more fun that way.
You converted me, Pat.
I know. It's more fun. I think that's what people want, too. Like, make a stand. Like, listen, I can run projections as well and be like, hey, here are my projections. It's great. Go sub to runthesims.com right now. And by like 3 weeks from now, you can run all your projections. You can customize them yourself. You don't need us to make rankings for you. The reason that we do rankings and fight over is like, who are you going to play? I mean, if we just played all the projections, that wouldn't be very fun, would it?
No, it's much more knowledgeable this time and lends a lot more to making these decisions while we talk through them too. Yeah, the same thing. You know me, I have customizable projections too, and that's why you sit there. You want to play with them and you want to see what your best bets and hey, those are great for betting too. If you want to make those kind of odds and run the sims and like head over there, those are great. But, you know, if you're talking about scoring for fantasy and you want that ceiling, do you really want what we always used to say? Do you really want Frank Gore? Do you really want your running back just to score 6-7 points every single week? Kudos. No, that's not what you want.
Well, I think that's where it comes down to with quarterback this year, too, and what we've seen historically. Like, we're going to be thrown a number and a stat that comes out about how good, how consistent Kirk Cousins has been at quarterback over the course of the past 5 years, which is true. But you never wanted him as your starting quarterback in fantasy.
I still don't want him.
Like Phillip Rivers all those years. He was consistent in fantasy. Like, he was top 10 guy. It's like, yeah, he's 10th. Great. I can stream together better than that, probably.
You know what Kirk Cousins did last year? Averaged just about the same as Jared Goff on a points per game base. It was like 16 and 16, somewhere right around there. Again, draft Anthony Richardson because you can find Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, and Derek Carr is on the waiver wire every single year.
Hey, this is why people laughed at us when we had Jalen Hurts. I think I had Jalen Hurts at 5 or 4 last year.
Do you remember?
Too high.
This is one where the project. Do you remember we had this conversation? I had my projection spat him out as number 1, and I pushed him down to 3 because I'm like, I'd still take Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes every single time. But
and I would
again.
Too.
This is why we.
But
yeah,
that's me. But Hurts was the guy that won you leagues last year.
He did. One, a lot of our viewers, and I still have people in our comments thanking both of us, including you, Pat, on some of those.
No one's thanking me for any good picks. Trust me on that one. All right, that will do it. On the Pat Mayo Experience, a foray back into fantasy football. We did running backs and quarterbacks today. Next time, Jake, receivers and tight ends. Tight ends seem kind of fun.
Sounds good, except I'll be sitting here like this with a giant sling on my arm.
Well, maybe you won't move so much.
That's true.
TheAthletic.com for all of Jake's work. At AllInKid on Twitter. You'll be seeing more of Jake on the Pat Mayo Experience over the course of the next 9 months after we took our little bit of a vacation away from football. But now I'm excited to get back in. Honestly, Jake, I know people do all this work before the draft. I don't care. I think it's just nice to get away from football for a minute.
I think it was a nice break. I mean, hey, look, I went and got married and went on a honeymoon during it.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Gave me too much free time. I'm going to get married finally.
Yeah, that's all it took. It was just like, hey, why don't you go on vacation? You don't need to do football every single day in April 3rd, Jake. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, I'm married now. This is great.
Take some time off. We'll see if 2023 Jake is any different than the years you used to know.
We'll see. All right, I'm Pat Mayo. Follow me at ThePME. RunTheSims.com right now is still in spring football mode. And let me tell you, Paul turned me on to this one because I wasn't paying attention. USFL is going on right now. Printing press for unders just cleaned up on the weekend over at Prize Picks. Code DOP at Prize Picks is going to deposit match of up to $100, by the way. And then RunTheSims.com, you can compare the projections versus the Prize Picks ones. And they're not even close a lot of the time. If it wasn't for that one running back who went off, I think I would have won like $5,000. But instead, I only won like $1,700 because one guy ended up going off that I thought was going to go under. But he got like 32 carries. What are you going to do? They're not going to be. It's not going to be 100% of the time, but they were giving us ones that were going to be like 89% winners, 87% winners when you ran the simulations 10,000 times. It's like, all right, let's go over and do that. Go to runthesims.com/mayo, full DraftKings stuff over there if you want to play lineups for XFL and USFL, all the props that are over there as well, along with full projections. So if you're interested in that, I highly recommend you go check it out. Plus, the season-long fantasy projections for NFL will be free for you if you have a free account at Run the Sims. Those will be coming very, very very soon, so I highly recommend that you go sign up. All right, I'm Pat Mayo. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time. Pat Mayo Experience.